brother.
God.
What's up?
This is a good big party, man.
Yeah, brother, like, stop right on.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Hey, good morning, Connor. How you doing, man?
I'm doing all right, Earl.
Let me ask you, man. You go to State Fair?
I haven't been to a State Fair, no.
You've never been to a State Fair?
No, I haven't.
Wow, man. Oh, that's Chicago. Illinois had state fairs, but because you just never, it's never been something you wanted to go to?
Yeah, I mean, it's just never been something that's been like, I don't know, there.
Right.
I mean.
Yeah, if you had to go to Illinois State Fair and you lived in Chicago, it's not like it's around the corner, right?
Yeah,
I mean, you'd have to go, pretty long way. Let me ask you, what about, what's the name of the place in Gurnee where they have all the rides and stuff like that, man?
Oh, you mean Six Flags?
Yeah, those kind of places.
Oh, I mean, I've been to amusement parks before.
Yeah, so I'm asking, man, you love those crazy rides, man?
Of course.
Okay,
like,
man. The more crazy, the more dangerous.
Yeah. The more crazy. The more like you feel like you're about to throw up because how many loop-de-loops you do,
yeah,
the better.
You know, I used to. That used to be me, man. I used to, man. The it just goes to show, man. The more crazy it was, you know, the roller coasters that would make you think you're gonna die before you got down. You know, you go all the way up to the top and it drops and they've got it figured out just right.
Yep.
Before you pass out, you know, it would. So all those things. You're young, so yeah, you're gonna love that.
Yeah, I want to go. I want to go in a couple of months.
Really?
Yeah. Take a trip out there.
Yeah, man. But man, I used to love all the rides, man. But then something happened.
What happened?
I got old, and I got to realizing, hey, something could happen. You know, it's kind of amazing how the older you get, the more you, I think, value your life. I'm not saying as a young person you don't value your life. You're not going to run out in the middle, you know, of the street if you see, you know, a car coming. You're certainly not going to do that. So when you're young, it's not that you don't value your life, you know. It's when you're really young, you don't see the end of your life, right? I mean, mm-hmm. you really have no concept at all of the finality of life. And the older we get, the more we realize that the finality of life is just around the corner.
Yeah.
And so you want to hold on to it a little bit longer. I remember, man, we went to, took my family to Las Vegas, and there was a hotel called, it was the tallest of all of them. Something is telling me the Stardust. No, Stardust was really old. That was when I was your age and younger, the Stardust. But it was the tallest one. It's probably still the tallest one. And and so on top of this hotel, the tallest freestanding building in Vegas, they had a roller coaster on the top of it, right?
Of course.
And I never will forget, man. I'm like, that's where I want to go, man. You know? And it wasn't like I was an old guy, but I certainly was probably somewhere in my 30s. So you don't lose that daredevil instinct, you know, early on. But I wanted to get on this thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the roller coaster was on the top of the tallest building in Las Vegas. It probably still is. And the roller coaster went around the top of that building. And never will forget me. I wanted to go, but for some reason it was shut down. And I couldn't leave well enough alone. So they had this other ride that was really on the top. It's like a needle. And you sit in these seats. And it takes you. I didn't have any concept of what it was going to do, the ride. Mm-hmm. But, you know, young and you wanted to, you know, fun. It looked like fun. And so this thing shoots you straight up to the top, and you're sitting at the top of this needle on the tallest building in Las Vegas, and then it drops you. And man, you know, man, I saw this poor, now listen, man, you know, I don't want anybody to misinterpret what I'm saying. But there was a guy from Vietnam, a grandfather, really old guy. And I don't know how his grandson talked him into getting on that ride, man. Because they took pictures of you, you know, they took pictures of your face when this thing is dropping. And I never will forget the look on that old guy's face, man. You know, he's from Vietnam. He doesn't know anything about all these different things. And man, the look on his face when he dropped, I bet to this day, if he's still around, he's never forgotten that. But you know, man, I love the state fairs. There's something about them. The food, just the diversity of things that happen at state fairs. You know, one of the things about, you know, urban living is that many, many children, like from your age, who grew up in places like Chicago and other places, have never been to state fairs. And and you know, that part of that is tragic, because throughout many of their lives, they'll go through their entire lives without ever having, you know, had the opportunity to do that. You know, I still think I go at least once a year to the Wisconsin State Fair, and there's just all sorts of things going on, man. Not to mention, now the ride part of it, I can't do anymore, right? I'm like the guy from Vietnam now. If you put me on one of the rides, man, I'm just not happening anymore. And I do see some guys from my generation who are still daredevils. I'm not one. But anyway, the state fair's here in Waukesha. Never been. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. You know, do you still go to the state fair? You know, it's if you get a chance, man, you really should go. You'll have, man, all sorts of fun. Just make sure you go with other people around your age, but I can't see you hanging out with old guys anyway. You're just hanging out with people your age. But, man, you guys can go and have a great, great time. It's state fair time. And the one drawback about state fair time is that, you know, it's a lot of times it's talking about the end of the summer. Are you ready to let the summer go already?
No, never. Literally never. I mean, if the summer could last for the rest of the year, I would not be upset about that. It's not a very popular opinion up here, but
so you could easily live in California or Florida.
Yep.
Where it's hot all the time.
I mean, I probably would get tired of it after like a couple of years, but I just know, like, with the amount the amount of trauma I've endured as a consequence of blizzards.
Man, what trauma have you endured?
Like waiting for the bus or for the train for like half an hour in a freezing blizzard hailstorm.
Yeah.
Like it takes an hour and a half to get to school. Because I go to school downtown in Chicago, so it takes like an hour to get there on the train.
Wow,
the whole train, you're packed with all these people. I don't know. It's just terrible.
You know, man, I forgot about the ill. And like people who live here, they don't, or like in New York, the subway, that kind of public transit, man, when you live in cities that big, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, those are humongous cities.
Yeah, public transit, I feel, is a really good thing, actually. I think it's very convenient. The only problem with Chicago is, it's safety. That's the biggest thing. And if there was a way they can make the public transit system just a lot more safe, then I think that would fix.
Yeah, so it's like it is in the movies that they've made. That's how the public transit is in Chicago, huh?
Which movies are we talking?
Well, there's a lot of movies over the years, man, where they show the public transit, and there's always some characters. You know, sinister-looking guys on public transit, but it's a lot safer than probably people want to make it out to be, right?
Yeah, I mean, it is like majority of the time safe. It's just
what could happen at any point in time.
Yeah, yeah, and up to the standards of Waukesha and of this place, it's nowhere close. I mean, you would think so because they have a lower police presence in certain places, actually.
Yeah.
And law enforcement presence.
Yeah, well, you know, if Waukesha is a relatively small area, and it does, you know, you're talking about Chicago, the third largest city in the nation, behind California I'm talking about cities. California's a state. New York.
New York and L.A.
And L.A.
Yeah.
Right. And then Chicago. And, you know, Chicago's a little New York. And I don't know. It's just a lot of people to be around, man. I've never wanted to be around that many people. Right? I mean, yeah. Anyway, got to go to a break. 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You know, people really don't know, or maybe they do know, how good they have it if they live in an area where they don't have to fear, you know, a lot of crime. Can you imagine... Connor, very seldom hearing police sirens in the night.
Yeah, the city is kind of nuts if you think about it. Like from a child's perspective, it's like you're growing up in this place and you hear all these sounds, everything from police sirens to machinery to people yelling to, you know, conversations, stores, businesses. It's a lot. It's a lot. And even if it's not specifically crime ridden, like
right.
The places where I grew up in, it's a lot. It can cause a lot of anxiety, you know, because like, and you don't really know anybody that's around you because it's a city. It's weird. You have these places, these concentrations of individuals, but in those places, people usually don't connect with their community as much in a place where there's less people at in a smaller town. I was just always trained to look past people when I'm walking next to them, you know. I couldn't imagine growing up in a place like that.
You know, man, part of that is it's supposed to make you a stronger person.
Yeah, that's the idea.
If it by growing up in an environment like that, and you know, the people that I know who've grown up in New York, Chicago, L.A. and those kinds of places, that they're, I don't want to say fearless, but they've got a different perspective on all things, I guess, because you see the life is a completely different kind of life than, say, someone who lives in Waukesha, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so when you, and the worst part about all of that is when you grow up as a child, right?
Mm-hmm.
As adults, you can navigate that. But yesterday was a prime example. You ever hear the Kia Boys?
No, I haven't.
Oh, okay. Well, the Kia Boys, guys maybe a little younger than you, maybe a couple years younger than you, and what they do is they steal Kia cars, right? They found out that the Kia cars are the easiest cars in the world to steal. And so they crack the column on the Kias, the car, the Kia car, and then they use, all it takes is a plug, a recharger for your cell phone.
Mm.
And they stick that in, and the car starts. So, man, these young people from 12 years old, 10 years old, on up to 20, have been stealing Kia cars. Man, I mean, last year, 12,000 in Milwaukee, 12,000 cars.
That's a lot of cars.
That were stolen. And Chicago, as big as it is, they had 9,000. So you imagine a small, comparable in size, the people, the, you know, amount of people in Milwaukee and the amount of people in Chicago. Chicago's four or five times as large, but yet Milwaukee had more stolen cars. So I'm driving home yesterday, and I see this Kia on the playground. And you usually can tell, because the one thing they do once they steal the Kia cars is it's a badge of honor. You gotta wreck it, right? You gotta run into it. You gotta tear the front end up and yet still drive it. So I don't know what's going on in the heads of young people today. I really don't. But this is what they do, man. And they drive reckless, and it's an epidemic in the city of Milwaukee, as well as some other places. But so I see these guys, these young people. I see the car. They're so bold that they park the car right in the middle of an asphalt playground, and they get out and they start playing basketball.
Hmm.
And knowing that if the police see them, they know it's the Kia, and they know that it's been stolen, they're gonna take chase. And so you just see these young people, man, who are fearless. They don't care whether they live or die, and they don't care whether they take anybody with them. So when you imagine growing up in a society like that, where, you know, 14, 15, 16 years old, you don't care whether you live or die. Have you ever run across people that young, man, who don't care whether they live or die?
I mean, it's not even something. I mean, that's a lot more common than I think what people think. I mean, I remember being in grade school, dealing with a lot of my friends and whom had that way of thinking. I mean,
middle school.
Middle school, sorry.
Right.
Seven to ninth grade around. It's like, I remember back then, you know, and I mean, even to this day, you know, I mean, I've personally felt like that. I think it's just a problem with purpose, I feel. I feel like a lot of young people, I mean, this is a common problem with pretty much every youth of every generation, right? From the millennials to Gen Xers and such, is like feeling of purposelessness, you know, feeling that, especially with technology, access to so many experiences, so many new opportunities, so much information, it kind of numbs you.
So, you know, so listen, I know we've got to go to a break,
yep,
man, but I want you to, to hold that thought, because you mentioned the technology, and I wonder what role, if any, that plays in it. You know, the fact that you have this at your fingertips and can communicate with people from all over the world. Listen, got to go to break. 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Phone lines are open. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You know, I'm really happy to have Connor be a part of the show for many different reasons. His talent and handling all of these different things is great, but more than anything else, it's his perspective that belies his age can kind of help many of us who don't really understand these young people. And, you know, so we get frustrated because we think the young people don't respect the elders as much as you know, maybe we used to have to respect our elders, and so they've got a different vibe, a different view of the world, as well they should, because it's a different world, and the world is forever changing, and in many instances, and none of us get to stay here and witness the changes of what happens in the life. But, you know, when you get a chance to see the changes happening in the world and in your and my lifetime, and then you turn around and you see young guys and young people like Connor who can explain those things, it's always good for all of us. So you know, Connor, so as you watch all these different changes manifesting themselves, and you come into this world and you see people from my generation who don't understand young people and why they commit suicide, and young people who people say have not even had a chance to live yet and they're ready to check out. You've already kind of explained. Is it because of a lack of love that they feel? Or is it because, in many instances, I've heard people say, well, these young people, they have these mindless looks on their faces as if their minds are somewhere else and not really dealing with what's happening today. Before we went to break, you brought up the fact of the technology and the advancement of it. Let's talk about the impact that's had on...
I think to make it something that's more palatable and more understandable, it's equivalent to how technology affected this, like in the 60s, like how the advent of TV affected the way that the young people then understood and knew about things like the Vietnam War, the Civil Rights
Movement.
Right, because we had this connection. I mean, there was radio that existed, but it wasn't visual, so you didn't really see exactly how people were being treated, how they were being oppressed. And with the advent of TV, you saw that, and that inspired an entirely different, you know, way of understanding and in perspective with baby boomers and Gen Xers. And it's equivalent now. It's just, I call it like the streams of content, right? Because instead of, you have an entire generation that's watching the same thing, interfacing with the same, you know, with these same social issues. But now, because of technology, I mean, you can pretty much, you can go right now and follow the Twitter account of a news company that covers issues in countries all across the world.
Right.
And understand that, like, that calamity isn't something that's specifically American. It's something that happens across the world, and America is a part of why it happens too, which is something that was still up for debate, you know, in the 60s. It was still a debate whether our interventionism is a problem, but like now everyone's incredibly cognizant of that, and everyone's cognizant of how it affects, how it can affect somewhere else, as we've seen with Afghanistan. And so it's like, that's the thing. I feel like there's just a lot more. There's a lot more issues that you're constantly being, you know, from this war to this issue to that issue, that's constantly on your feed. And social media kind of, I think it does brainwash people to get people to use it continuously. And it's better to do it with younger people because they have more of a malleable mind. And that's a good thing because, like, my, you know, for me, for example, it's like using social media, using technology is so instant, so easy for me. But simultaneously, it allows for these larger companies with profit, you know, incentives to get you to use their platform more, right? To engage with more content, right? Because they want to sell your information, but they're not looking at the negative health, the mental health effects of that, which is that you disconnect from reality pretty much. You disconnect from being able to value the physical experiences you have. And so, me as a young person, my balance right now is trying to like limit and balance as much as possible how much I'm in the digital space versus the physical space. Like hanging out, like it's a thing that you have to consciously do. And I think that's a good thing because it's showing like a lot of young people the value of community, but in a completely different way.
So, you know? So I know it can't just be me, but your perceptiveness at such a tender age is a gift, and you've been given this great gift to even at such a young age to see the world from that perspective, and it can't do anything but lead to a tremendous future for you, man. So I'm always enjoying, and I got to always remember that, you know, I got to make sure that I include you on a daily basis in subject matter and conversations that we have, because I think when people hear you, and I know it can't just be me, that they're just not believing that, you know, a guy at 20 years old could be that perceptive. But anyway.
Well, thank you.
Always great talking to you, man. Here's a subject, man, that and this just leads to where this nation is headed. And I know I get people who say, Earl, you're always talking about negative stories. I don't always talk about negative stories, but there are more negative stories out here, unfortunately, than people really want to hear. And but it just leads to where our nation is headed. And, you know, school board candidate says doctors helping trans kids should hang from a tree. Okay, so you're running for school board, right? Yeah. The lowest hanging fruit, the lowest elected position that there is, for the most part, is a school board member. And so a school board member is a person who should be, you know, concerned about what happens in the public school system that they are part of, that in the community in which they live, whether their children go there or not, that is the role of a school board member. The role of a school board member is not to be saying doctors helping trans kids should hang from a tree. I mean, this is where we've come, man. This is where we are today. And so as Republicans have pushed lunatics like this woman to run for school board all throughout the nation, we've got lunatics running for school board and sprouting this kind of hateful language and conversation. What the hell does it matter to you as a school board member or trying to become a school board member? Who are you auditioning for? And so there's a whole segment of Republicans who have organized to take over public school boards across the nation. And, you know, that might not be such a bad thing unless they start talking like this.
Yeah. You know, I think a lot of people don't understand, like, just how terrible discrimination is, specifically in the trans community, and how I feel like with a lot of the political issues, a lot of the different groups and protected statuses that exist nowadays, that specific community, a lot of their problems have to do with certain people in power believing that they don't have a right to objectively exist, you know, and that's a bit more. I'm not, because every single, you know, type of person has their own or group, you know, has their own specific history of oppression. But in this case, it's interesting. It's worse because it's like because of these moral principles, right, that have no grounding in any practical reality, right? An entire subset of people on something as arbitrary as sexuality and what they want to become, right? Well, tons of hate and tons of oppression is being, and this is an example of that.
Well, but
right?
You're absolutely correct, but she's trying to speak from a moral imperative.
Exactly. And it's so hilarious. I don't want to say it's hilarious, but it's just inconsistent, because how can you say that you're of the moral?
That's my point. Say,
exactly. That you're of the moral imperative when your entire philosophy is based on the idea of literally killing someone or literally making so people can't exist just because they don't want to have or their own relationship with their own sexuality, which doesn't affect anybody else.
Well,
I don't get that.
Well, and because, well, God says, the Bible says, you know, you can pick those things out all you want to.
Like, but like, where in the Bible specifically doesn't say that? God
it doesn't.
Like trans
there's
people.
No. There's,
like, I don't.
There is no such thing, and yet you've got people who walk around with their heads held high, saying these kinds of things as if they're speaking for God Almighty, right? Exactly. Well, who are you? I'm a conservative. Okay, so you're a conservative. So what does that mean? Well, I don't think that there should be transgender people. Okay, so that's your opinion. That's all that is.
A lot of them, like a lot of conservative people, try to classify it as gender dysphoria or some form of mental illness, and that doesn't. And they like to say that, well, you know, if you think that you don't have an arm or something, then that means that you have body dysphoria. So if you think that you're biologically a separate gender, that means you're gender dysphoria. That doesn't make any sense because, like, in a lot of cases, a person decides to be trans, like they're aware of the fact that their biology is one way. It's more because of how they want to express their sexuality. Gender and sex are two separate things.
But I would say this. Whose business is it?
Exactly. Exactly.
It's not your business. You know, nobody tells you, about what you can do and what you should do with your own life. And if somebody dared say it, quote-unquote straight people would have a fit. You know, you have no right to judge anybody. That's the reality of it. Mm-hmm. Because everybody who is here didn't bring themselves here, right? So, you know, whatever it is you feel about somebody else, keep it to yourself.
Yeah.
But don't be so nasty and arrogant to be as to say what this lunatic woman had to say. We've got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. But here's what I'm talking about, man. School board candidate says doctors helping trans kids should hang from a tree. Elizabeth Janelle Lancaster, who is running for school board seat in Florida, made the remarks as a Republican at a Republican club event. A Florida school board candidate received applause after saying doctors who treat trans kids should be hanging from the nearest tree. The verbiage, man. Hanging from the nearest tree. So you can say that when she's using that kind of language, well, it's colorful language. Well, you know, I don't think it's colorful language. I think it's language from times gone by when they did actually hang people from trees. And so that's in her mindset. Elizabeth, again, Janelle Lancaster, is running in an August primary for Santa Rosa County School Board, made the remarks at the Gulf Coast Patriots. And they, oh man, the Patriots, they're always Patriots, right? Event near Navarro, Florida. In a video posted to the Northwest Florida Conservatives Facebook group, a.k.a. the Klan. That's not what they call it, but anybody who's using the language that she's using got it from somewhere. Lancaster weighed in on the reassignment during her address to Republicans. These doctors that are going along with mutilating these children and prescribing hormone blockers to these kids, in my opinion, they should be hanging from the nearest tree. Now listen to this. Lancaster, who described herself as a conservative with Christian values. Oh, Christian values.
Yeah.
You know, people hide behind Christian values. And they've tormented and twisted what Christian values really are or really were supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
But if you really knew the truth about Christian values, then, you know, you wouldn't be surprised that somebody like this woman can make that kind of statement publicly.
Yeah,
it used to be, man, that she's going to say that. She would say that in a dark room somewhere where nobody could hear that, right?
No, I mean,
she's bold enough to say that in front of the cameras, and then when she gets called out for it, like it is right now, she's on the Huffington Post.
Yeah, I think as terrible as the statement is, I do think it's still, let's say, a good thing that in this country people can express things like that. Because then we can break it down. We can challenge it. We can say, okay, that doesn't make sense because of, you know, and inform our people why this way of thinking isn't right. And so I think in this case, to play devil's advocate, I think the reason why she thinks that is because of the fact that, you know, children, in a lot of cases, right, children do, it's just the children part where she has a problem with it. She thinks that doctors giving children hormones, children don't have the full capacity to consent to something that's going to affect them for a very long period of time. And so she thinks it's terrible that a doctor would do something like that, even if the parent consents to it. The only problem is that they need to provide situations or scenarios, right, where this has affected children negatively. Because in trans cases, when they get older, a lot of the reason why they have higher suicide rates or higher rates of depression isn't specifically because of the hormone.
So I'm not questioning. I'm not questioning whether or not she felt that way.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the language about hanging somebody from a tree.
Yeah, it's evil.
Yeah,
it's
I mean, that's the part of it.
Yeah.
She has a right to feel whichever way she wants to feel. But based on the history of this nation and the history of hanging people from trees, that kind of language should never be entered into any discussion.
Yeah.
And she feels comfortable using that kind of language, right? I mean, all the rest of it, I'm with you. She's got the freedom in this country, and she does have the freedom in this country to talk about lynching.
Yeah.
But then you can't undo the history of what took place in this country when we're talking about lynching.
Yeah,
it took place. And you're right, and who was lynched.
Because if you're going to make that moral, you know, argument, like if you're going to say, it's because I love the children so much. That's why these people, because she views them probably as like as child mutilators or pedophiles or something. And that's why she has no problems using that language, because she declassifies them as someone deserving of rights. But that's not consistent with your Christian beliefs. I mean, if this person that you view to be, try to like understand, like just understand why this would happen.
Look,
understand,
man,
why somebody would do this.
There's a time and a place for everything. And a school board meeting is not the place for that conversation.
Exactly. And that's also the big thing.
Right.
We're educating kids about arithmetic and English.
Yeah.
I guess there's a good argument to be made that, you know, that stuff should be, like, sexuality and things should be something that should be taught
in a personalized setting. But that stuff and that kind of conversation is now being had at school board meetings all over the nation, because conservatives said, this is what we're going to do. We're going to bring the hate into the school board meetings. And even though they have no place there, they're going to do it anyway, right? And so you talked about, the hatefulness and the evilness of what it is she is saying. You know, I mean, again, people have a right to do whatever it is they want to do in this country. And so if people want to be transgender and that's what they've chosen to be, just like people have a freedom of speech, then what the hell business is it of yours?
Yeah, and the big...
Move on.
Yeah, the big thing is that there just isn't any verifiable evidence that what is happening with that, what these children are doing, when it like being trans as a child, right, has a direct correlation with anything negative to happen, right, when these children develop.
Well, so I can tell you this.
Like, there's nothing. So, like, for her to get incredibly upset about this to the point where she wants to kill doctors that are doing this.
I can tell you this. It's bigger than just children with her.
Yeah.
It is the whole transgender movement. It's what she's really talking about. And if these people who call themselves conservatives had their way, they would remove the entire transgender movement from the face of the earth.
Yeah.
That's just a fact. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. What do you say? You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back.